You might have gotten a little laugh out of the title, but to be honest with you, there's not a lot to laugh about. One of the things that we lost was the fact that the Lord provided everything for us. We didn't have to work. I'm sure we would have done things, or else we'd have been bored to death, of course, but we wouldn't have had to labor to provide for our needs. As the Lord told Adam and Eve after they sinned, "By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food." And as time went on, people began to come together, realize the individual agrarian way didn't always work. People got together and found out that they could earn a living by doing other things. They were metal workers. They were woodworkers, stone cutters. They could do a lot of other things than just grow food. And as these people honed their skills, they came together and realized that if they worked as a team, they could accomplish great things. And this would have been the start of business. This would have been the start of companies. Probably didn't call them companies back then, but that's what they were. They were the earliest version of corporations. And workers began to team up and build larger and larger projects and accomplish greater and greater things. The problem that came with it, of course, was somebody had to be in charge. And the person wasn't always the best and the brightest. And we see that today. How many of you have had to work for a college graduate who might be book smart, but has never done anything in his or her life? But somehow, some way, your higher up boss, for some reason, thought they would make a good medium level boss directly over you. You who have done this job for years, now you have to listen to some kid who read a book written by another person, professor, who's never done anything in his or her life. That's not to say all professors are that way, but as the old saying goes, those who can't do, teach. And many professors who teach have never been out in the real world. Their entire career was professional teaching. Now, I can read a book about how to fly an airplane, but I don't think you want me in the cockpit. Reading a book might give you the technical data, but the skills are learned on the job. And some skills take years to hone, decades even, to get really good. So you get this young kid, fresh out of college, thinks he knows everything, telling you, the seasoned worker, how things work. This idiot does not have a clue. He might be an educated idiot, but he's an idiot nonetheless. Doesn't sound very nice to call people that, but "How did I end up working for this idiot" is a good title for this segment, because so many of us end up working for idiots. Those of us who end up working for idiots who really think they're smart, they're the worst of all. At least the idiot who knows he's an idiot, when confronted, tends to back down. But the idiot, or as the Bible talks about the fool in Proverbs, doesn't listen to rebuke. The fool thinks he's wise in his own mind. Does that not describe so many bosses today? Rehoboam, Solomon's son, after Solomon died, was now appointed king over Israel. And the people came to him. They said, "Your father put a heavy burden upon us. Lighten this load, and we will serve you." So Rehoboam goes to his father's wise men, who of course would have been much older. And they said to Rehoboam, "Give the people a favorable answer, and they will serve you for the rest of their lives." So then Rehoboam turns to his young, cocky, arrogant men who he grew up with, and they said, nah. Give him this answer. So Rehoboam, not listening to the wise men and giving a good answer, said to them, "My little finger's bigger around than my father's waist. He scourged you with whips, I'll scourge you with scorpions." Of course, all the cocky young men are probably standing there snickering, smiling, "Yeah. That's right, Rehoboam, you tell these people, you're the king." Well, the people looked at Rehoboam and said, "We have no part in the house of Jesse. Each man to his own house, to his own tent." And everybody left. Could you imagine the look on Rehoboam's face and the face of those cocky young men, his friends, when everybody just turned around and started walking away? So Rehoboam calls out the army, what's left of it, the men of Judah, the only tribe that really stuck with him, and then, of course, the small tribe of Benjamin, but Benjamin wasn't very large at that time, and said, "We're going to go and we're going to fight the Israelites and force them back." Well, a wise man of God, a holy man, came to the people and said, "Don't do it." The Lord said, "Do not fight your brothers." And the men of Judah listened. So Israel was split. 10 tribes went one way, and Judah and the very small tribe of Benjamin went the other. This is what happens when young, cocky people, and trust me, there's some women out there, some young girls very cocky. This is what happens when young people who might be book smart, who are given charge over others, instead of using wisdom, which they haven't acquired yet, because wisdom comes from living life. Knowledge comes from books and learning, but to gain wisdom, meaning the proper use of that knowledge, that comes from the school of hard knocks. That's living. Young people haven't lived enough. They haven't gone through the school of hard knocks enough. Solomon said this. He said, I've seen servants on horseback and princes walking beside them. Now, to give you a perspective of what this is about, turn to the book of Esther. And Haman was a wicked official of Xerxes, the king, and Mordecai, who was Esther's uncle, wouldn't bow to him. All the other people would bow to Haman, but Mordecai would just stare at him. And this just stuck in Haman's craw, so much so that he decided he was going to kill Mordecai. But not just Mordecai, all the Jews. That's how evil Haman was. Well, Mordecai had discovered a plot against Xerxes. Two of his officials had plotted to kill the king. And Mordecai had let it be known, and they investigated, and sure enough, they found this story to be true, and they put those two officials to death. Well, at the time, Mordecai didn't receive any reward for it. On the night before Haman was going to have Mordecai hanged on the gallows that Haman had prepared for him, Xerxes couldn't sleep. So Xerxes ordered that the king's chronicles be brought in and read to him. They kept all the important matters written down over the years of what the king accomplished and various battles and various other important events that occurred during the king's life. And it was read to the king what Mordecai had done in foiling the assassination plot. So the king asked what was done for him. They said nothing. So soon after, Haman meets with the king the next day, and Xerxes says to him, what should be done for the man whom the king delights to honor? Well, Haman's thinking, who more than me does the king delight in? So Haman says, bring a royal robe that the king has worn, a crown to be placed upon this person's head, thinking that the crown was going to be placed upon his head, and sit him upon a horse that the king has ridden. And this is where Haman got really cocky, thinking that he was going to be elevated above that of the royal princes, because again, the person leading the horse is lower than the person on the horse. He said, have one of the most noble princes, the king's sons, have one of them lead the horse. Because Haman is thinking the people will see the family member, the royal prince, walking beside the horse while I, because Haman thought he was going to be the one being honored, will be sitting upon the horse in the king's robe with the king's crown. Called out to all the people, this is what is done for the man whom the king delights to honor. Well, Xerxes looks at Haman and says, very well, do this for Mordecai. And not only do this for Mordecai, but you're the one going to lead the horse. That had to absolutely knock Haman over, because servants hold the reins and lead the horse. Great officials don't do that. Princes don't do that. Even though Haman tried to get Xerxes to have one of the royal princes do it, servants lead the horse. The important person is supposed to be sitting on top of the horse. So when Solomon, hundreds of years earlier, talked about, I've seen servants on horseback and princes walking beside, that's what he was saying, that servants are to be the one leading the horse. The prince, the high official, the one who is worthy, he, she, should be sitting on the horse. But Solomon, way back when, thousands of years ago, had seen people who should not be on horseback. In other words, people who should not be honored. Honored. And those who should have been honored are walking in the lowly position of a servant. So, how did you end up working for that idiot? That started since almost, maybe not quite the dawn of time, but since the time that men got together to form groups and someone took charge. Sometimes you get the person who should be in charge. Other times you get the servant. You get the fool. You get the person totally unworthy. The cocky college kid, the boss's buddy, whomever. Not the person who should have been in charge of that project, in charge of the office. Maybe that person being you. So this is what we've lost. We've lost peace in the sense that even when we go to work, the boss, the person who's supposed to lead, is a fool, is an idiot. And this is one of the things that has happened to us because of sin. We wouldn't have had to work for a living. We would have worked for enjoyment, for building, for accomplishment. We wouldn't have had idiots in charge. We would not have had servants on horseback. But that's what we have now. And think about all the times you go to work and the drudgery. I just can't go one more day with this fool in charge who gets more money, more prestige, does far less work, And I'm the one, if something goes wrong, who gets blamed. The fool, the idiot, doesn't even take the blame, and they're in charge. They try to pawn it off on you or others. That's what we've lost. That's one of the reasons why we've lost peace. We're forced to work by the sweat of our brow to eat our food. And because of that, life passes us by year after year, and we see the injustice. People who have no business being in charge, in charge. So think about that the next time you go to work. Ask yourself, was sin really worth it?